Now your ideas don't have to wait. Now they have everything they need to come to life. Dell Technologies and Intel are creating technology that loves ideas, loves expanding your business, evolving your passions. We push what technology can do so great ideas can happen right now. Find out how to bring your ideas to life at Dell.com/welcome to now.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
This is seismic news.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Samuel has told the 49ers he wants a trade.
Man, I got mind control over Debo.
There's only one complete player at this position like Debo Samuel, and I just said his name.
Debo.
Today's guests, ESPN NFL reporter Jeff Darlington, senior NBA insider for The Athletic, Shyam Charania, plus actor Colin Hanks. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Yes, it is. 844-204-RICH, number to dial here on this very busy Thursday in Los Angeles, California, on The Rich Eisen Show. 1 week from today, we're going to get answers in the National Football League draft because it's going to go down in Las Vegas, Nevada. I will be there on the NFL Network set for an 18th year. But for the moment, I'm here on this program. This just in, breaking news. I'm sitting in this chair on the set of The Rich Eisen Show. And one of my favorite people on the planet, the actor Colin Hanks, is going to be here in studio in hour number three.
Can't wait.
I can't wait to chat with him. He is a delight in every possible way. And his new show that he's coming in to talk about is called The Offer, exclusively on Paramount Plus. It's about the making of The Godfather. I mean, my gosh.
I've heard of that movie.
I have heard of that film, yeah. So he'll be here in hour number three. Shyam Charania is going to be here in hour number two. He broke the story last night that Jay Wright is retiring from coaching after 21 years at Villanova. He just broke moments ago that Ben Simmons will in fact return to action for the Brooklyn Nets in game four of their series with the Celtics, and that's now 2-0 Boston. So he'll be joining us joining us shortly on the program, Jeff Darlington of ESPN. He broke the story yesterday that Debo Samuel called him, or he called Debo. They had a chit chat, and Debo's like, yeah, let it be known that I want to trade out of San Francisco. I don't want to be a 49er anymore. And then we found out that he had given that news 2 weeks prior to all of this. Actually, it's been bubbling beneath the surface, and we'll talk to Jeff in about 18 minutes time. But for the moment, we say hello to you on Peacock. If you are watching us, I've got, for those who are listening to us, I'm wearing this fantastic, what would you say, yellow gold sort of sweater that's going on right now?
It's a little beige-ish.
No, beige.
Tan, maybe tan.
It's a very beige, yeah. Beige day. Yeah, I'm tanning my sweaters these days. I'm just showing you here that that man has not ended as I'm sitting here on the Rich Eisen Show set, talking to you, whether you're listening on Sirius XM channel 85, the NBC Sports audio channel, or this Rich Eisen Show terrestrial radio network. We always appreciate all the affiliates coast to coast who say yes, we will have this program in the ear gates of our P1s. And then also those listening on Odyssey, our podcast on the Cumulus Podcast Network, the latest episode of Just Getting Started with Susie and Angela Kinsey of The Office. We've got a great soundbite of how she got started with NBC. That'll be coming up later on in this program. YouTube.com/Rich Eisen Show for everything that you may have missed. We'll also play an excerpt of the latest episode of the Rich Eisen Show basketball podcast that was recorded in this here studio for your listening and viewing pleasure on our YouTube page just yesterday. And good to see you, Chris Brockman.
I'm just Googling pictures of Marcus Smart looking at his hand.
Okay, very good. Jay Felly, good to see you, sir.
Hey.
How are you?
I'm well. Yourself?
TJ Jefferson has already lit the candle the day after a very busy Philadelphia sports day. Jay Wright retiring, the Sixers going up 3-0 in Toronto with their MVP candidate Joel Embiid making a big three-point shot to quiet the Toronto crowd, kind of at the buzzer ish you know, there was a tenth of a second left. You had to particularly enjoy that moment happening in Toronto, I imagine, since the ball did not bounce on the rim a couple times. It actually went straight through the net. TJ, you had to enjoy that last night.
It did not suck.
And then Shams Charania, who broke that Jay Wright story last night, breaking that Ben Simmons is returning in game four. So there's a lot of Philadelphia sports on the brain on this program as the NBA playoffs getting more and more fascinating. But we start here on the Rich Eisen Show today with the story that blew up yesterday, and that's Deebo Samuel telling the 49ers he wants out and then letting that be known publicly through Jeff Darlington, who's joining us here shortly. And since we're all confused because it seems to be working out so incredibly well for a guy who is an all-pro wide receiver now for a team that drafted him in the second round and has tailored a lot of their offense to his remarkable skill set to be not just a matchup nightmare, but a business decision when he's either catching it or running it. And so when we get confused, we fill the void in the media. We fill the void, or we're searching for answers. And a lot of answers are coming back from the information community. Like three different answers as to what's up, why he's not happy. Three. One of which the Niners can address, and one of which they cannot, and one that kind of leaves a bit of a conundrum that I think the Niners can eventually address. What do I mean by that? Let's start with the one thing that we're hearing about Deebo Samuel wanting out that the Niners cannot address. They cannot fix it. There is no way that they can fix it. And that's Deebo apparently wanting out because he's from South Carolina and never wanted to play on the West Coast. That's something the Niners aren't going to fix.
Geographically impossible.
That's basically it. They're kind of settled on Northern California. That's a settled issue. That's not changing. They can't. I mean, look, if he's a guy who never wanted to go there and doesn't want to be there,
homesick a little,
and he wants to be closer to home, wants to be closer to family, wants to be closer to friends, and has the ability to change his scenery. Just saw Davante Adams change his scenery and Tyreek Hill change his scenery. Maybe he wants to change his scenery. That's something the Niners cannot fix. One thing the Niners can fix, if it's about money. This is about money, that's fixable. They got that. Niners have that. I mean, shoot. Their cheer component is known as the Gold Rush. I mean, look, they got money. There's gold in them, our San Francisco 49er Hills. Is it about money? Maybe so. If this is a business decision, then the Niners eventually can address that. And the fact that this is not addressable right now, I don't know why. You know, Adam Schefter was reporting, and he was one of the folks reporting today, that it's maybe a geographical problem. He just doesn't want to play out in San Francisco. Adam reported the day before Darlington connected with Deebo Samuel that the Niners would pay him yesterday, would pay him today, would pay him tomorrow. It's Deebo is holding him off. So why is Deebo holding him off? Maybe because he wants out, because he can't live on the East Coast? Or it's the third issue that we're hearing. This is what Tom Pelissero mentioned yesterday, among others, including Ian Rappaport, my colleagues from the NFL Media Group. Doesn't want to run the ball as much as he's been running it. He doesn't want to have the contact at the position if he's running it. And it kind of makes sense. As you know, the odometer for running backs in the NFL runs fast. Runs awfully fast. And then when you hit that, the mileage hits 30 years old, see you later. Adios. Gone. You're seeing 30-year-old receivers more and more often now. And Deebo wants to be one of them. And if he does play into his 30s, that means a third contract. He's on his first one now. He's going to get his second one shortly. And then you want a third one? That's great. Running backs for third contracts, they don't get paid like Davante Adams or Tyreek Hill or Stephon Diggs. So business decision makes sense right there. Because normally he's a business decision for the defender, right? He's making a business decision right now, potentially, say, I don't want the wear and tear of being a running back. And I'm kind of confused by this because when we had Deebo Samuel on this program, okay, when we had him on this program, it was November 23rd, 2021, a Tuesday after the San Francisco 49ers had just beaten the Jacksonville Jaguars, okay, for their second win in a row. And Debo had just led the team. He had just led the team in 79 yards rushing. And I asked him that day where I asked him that day about whether he sees people making business decisions and turning down the contact from him. He kind of shined it off and said no. But if they want to just basically throw their bodies at him and good luck, I'll just run straight past you. So I asked him about all of that. And fascinatingly enough, the conversation later on turned to his relationship with his head coach, Kyle Shanahan. Because again, if he feels he's being used too much, he certainly didn't sound like he was upset with his head coach who's been using him too much as a running back. I asked him about his relationship with Kyle Shanahan on that Tuesday last November.
Me and Kyle, like, have a great relationship from when I stepped here until now. We've just been building ever since I was a rookie. And I mean, every Monday or Tuesday, I always stop by his office just to have like casual conversation. And even him and Mike McDaniel and Wes Welker, those are three guys that I stop by every Monday and Tuesday on like our off day just to chop it up with them, just to see, you know what I'm saying, where we headed at this week, force plays, and going there with Wes and see, you know what I'm saying, what he sees on the defensive end that we need to attack as a receiver group.
So have you already had that conversation with him on this Tuesday? Has that already happened?
No, I really just walked in the building and came in here. So after I leave here, I'm going to go in there and chop it up with all the guys.
Okay, so what's on the agenda? What do you think's on the agenda?
I have no idea. I'm not going to lie. I don't think you have no idea what's on the agenda. Kyle is an offensive guru, so you know, you never know what to expect. So, I mean, you just got to go in there with an empty mind and just whatever he puts in. I mean, he's been doing a great job with calling plays and getting guys in the right position to make plays. So, I mean, I'll put all my trust in him.
So, what do you like to do if you're given a choice? Run it or catch it and run it? What's your favorite to do?
I'd rather catch it and run it.
Why is that?
Because if I catch it, I got way more space, you know. I mean, it's really not a preference, but I preferably like to catch it and run.
He prefers to catch it and run it instead of running it, is what he said. And earlier in the conversation, he pointed out that he was a running back in high school and then converted to wide receiver when he got to South Carolina. So, didn't sound completely at the time like, yeah, I don't want to be doing that anymore. Maybe the reason why he didn't sound that way, though, somebody's not going to just... Look, when athletes appear on this program, they're not sworn in like they are giving testimony, right? So, but
Brockman.
We always try and go inside numbers and try and make you smarter. And the NFL Network top-notch research staff sent out a Debo packet, if you will, when this news broke yesterday. And this particular item was at the top of the list, and I bring it to you now. In his last 11 games, the last 8 regular season games and 3 playoff games that Debo Samuel played for the 49ers last year, 38 catches, 80 rushes. 80 rushes, 38 catches. 3 rushing touchdowns, 3 receiving touchdowns, 8 rushing touchdowns. The first 33 games of his career, 149 catches, 34 rushes. 34 rushes in his first 33 games of his career. And then his last 11 games, 8 regular season games to finish up the regular season and 3 playoff games, 80 rushes, 80. And guess when that 11-game stretch start? 2 days before we spoke to Debo Samuel on that day. When he led the team in rushing yards against Jacksonville. We hang up the phone from Debo, and maybe when he starts going into those meetings with Mike McDaniel and Kyle Shanahan and Wes Welker, he's talking to Wes less about receiving, and he starts seeing more and more touches at the position, running it and running it and running it, and then maybe when it's all said and done after the season, despite all the accolades he has appropriately received for being such a slash nightmare, he sits down and he talks to his agent and he sees the numbers and it's just like, okay, this happens again and again and again, you might not get that third contract. And that's why I believe this is all a business decision. Because Kyle Shanahan's smart enough to know that, you know, sustainable maybe for the next couple of years. And maybe, you know, Debo gets the sense that the Niners and the coaching staff do not care about his odometer. They're just going to try and win a championship with him, and that's the end of that. Maybe that's the reason why he wants to get paid and what have you. But that's why I think the Niners can eventually address this problem, this 19 problem, with dollars and cents. Maybe Debo won't care about the time zone difference if he can afford the fastest private PJ home, right? Or all of the usage if he knows he has got the best contract of anybody who plays the position out there. Or something that we still don't know about makes this difference irreconcilable. But I think when it all comes down to it, we're talking business decision, the finances. And I still can't believe the Niners would just trade this guy away in the next 7 days because they feel like, okay, we just need to get him out of here. I would be surprised if that happens. I really would. And I'm sure that John Lynch's phone's ringing off the hook, and I'm sure a lot of teams are making their play right here. Again, if one of them's the Packers, I would love to have that phone tapped when Matt LaFleur calls up Kyle Shanahan. Maybe you should call him on draft day, just like Kyle Shanahan called Matt LaFleur on draft day last year, saying, hey, if your quarterback's available, I might, you know, I've got to do my due diligence, even though we just gave up a ton of draft capital to get into the third slot of the draft tonight. But I'll you know, is Aaron free? Maybe LaFleur calls up Shanahan on draft day. Is Debo free or what? I think it's a business decision. But I figured we'd parse it all out for you best we can with numbers and what we've already heard from Debo. What do you think? 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. When we come back, we're going to talk to the guy who talked to Debo and try and make heads or tails about this. And he's also the guy who broke Tom Brady's retirement. Ish. So sort of. There's a lot to talk about with Jeff Darlington, don't you think? Of the worldwide leader in sports. I wouldn't miss this. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial for a conversation here on this busy Thursday edition of the Rich Eisen Show.
America starts the day with America in the Morning.
First of three pushes of storminess.
Hi, I'm John Trout, your host for the latest news, politics, entertainment, business, and weather.
A speech with political overtones.
Our staff of correspondents provide a fast-paced look at the world with specialized reports from where news happens.
The judge's decision was based on finding there is a likelihood.
So far, the central bank appears to be threading that.
Concise, accurate, and fresh each day.
America in the Morning, the podcast, available wherever you listen.
Our house is a mess. Come on in.
I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show are their terrestrial radio outfit along with NBC Sports on Peacock and NBC Sports Audio, Sirius XM Channel 85. Quite the scoop from our friend Jeff Darlington of the worldwide leader in sports yesterday, saying he spoke to Debo and Debo says he's told the Niners he wants out. Joining us here in the Mercedes-Benz Vans phone line to talk about that and everything else a week before the NFL draft is Jeff Darlington. How you doing, Jeffrey?
Well, hello, Rich. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. So, Debo call you? You call Debo? What happened?
Debo. I called Debo.
Okay. You know. All right.
Nice little chat.
Hit him up, and then he just said, "Oh, by the way, I told the Niners I want out."
That's right.
Is that what it is?
That's right.
Little before hanging up. Little by the way.
I was calling about something else.
All right. So what gives? What can you share with us, Jeff Darlington?
Well, yeah. Look, first of all, this is something that has been sort of percolating behind the scenes for several weeks at this point. So the team had already been sort of aware that this was coming. It was basically to the point where Debo, I think, just really wanted people at this point, after, you know, washing his social media of any reference to the 49ers, taking it a step further and making it clear that he does, in fact, want to be traded. I understand that comes with a lot of questions. Debo didn't necessarily want to expound at this point on his reasons. The one thing I will say, I think he's it's a little bit of a double-edged sword, because I know he's frustrated right now that the narrative, the narratives that are floating around, basically people kind of guessing why he wants out. For instance, like he doesn't want to play running back anymore. I think those kinds of things are a little frustrating to him, although he also doesn't necessarily want to.
You there? Jeffrey? Uh-oh. I think that was a Bluetooth. Did he get to his car? Is that what happened right there?
Oh, yeah. He might have gotten his car, and then it automatically switches over.
Uh-huh. If you have Let's see. We'll tap dance thing. A little bit. And
Let's
see
just wait for
and
the
then, you, and then it pops up on the screen, and you have to click switch to back to hands-free.
Right. I know.
Yeah. Sounds like he's panicking.
Any second now, the Katy Perry song will
let's,
come on.
Let's do this. Let's try and put him back on. Since you there, Jeff?
Oh.
Yeah, you got me.
Oh, no, my God. Okay, so...
Did you lose me?
Yo, absolutely, 100%.
What was I blathering on about?
No, you were talking about how Debo doesn't necessarily want to play. He doesn't want to run as much anymore. And so, but that's what helped make him an all...
That's the thing. I don't know that that's necessarily the case. I don't think it's about necessarily being a running back. I think he's still fully... willing to do all those things. Adam Schefter on our air yesterday reported that one of the factors is as simple as him just not wanting to be in San Francisco and wanting to instead be closer, not necessarily closer, but just a world that reminds him more of his home in South Carolina. I know, and I don't want to go too far into that because I think that's something that Debo should have at some point expound on, because that's a pretty personal thing. And I know what people will say as soon as that comes out of my mouth, which is you get paid millions of dollars. Do it where you have to do it. That's where I think this thing probably gets a little more personal and probably reaches the point where Debo himself at some point will have to sort of explain those feelings.
So, I mean, and that's the issue here, Jeff Darlington, is obviously the why and how things can get rectified. That's one thing that 49ers most certainly cannot rectify. They cannot rectify where they play football, where they're located as a franchise in the National Football League and one with several trophies in the case, I might add. Including one that almost happened in Debo's first year in go-round in this league. So if it's not the running back thing and let's just say it might be the close to home thing, can't money fix all that potentially?
So you would think, right? And I totally get the logic behind all this. And that's where I want to be careful, because I don't want to put words in his mouth,
right?
That he hasn't put in my ears. And I at this point just know that the 49ers really want Debo on their team. They really recognize his value to their organization, what he brings to the table. They're trying and have been trying to do what it takes to keep him. I don't get the sense that Debo is going about this with animosity, but I do get the sense that he very much has his feet in the ground on this. I personally don't see him budging, to your point. If some of those factors are things that the 49ers cannot rectify or remedy, that's a difficult task to overcome.
Hmm. So is this essentially, potentially, a race between now and draft day for the 49ers to get him to be less homesick? Is that honestly what it could possibly be?
I mean, I do sense, though, that the 49ers, again, I understand that to the rest of us, this is new. To the 49ers, it is not. You know, this has gone down a pretty distant path already at this point. That's not to say that they won't continue to try, but I do think that everyone senses that the draft is now 1 week away, and if you are going to remedy this situation in the way that means Debo leaves the 49ers, it's going to be a lot easier before the draft than it is after, because after the draft, no longer do we know what kind of picks you're trading for until this next season completes itself. So, again, that comes with a whole different set of complications than the current scenario presents.
Well, I mean, if he wants out in a way that, you know, the Niners just can't rectify, right, by changing their address, wouldn't you counsel, I mean, this is just you and I talking with everyone else listening in, I guess, Debo to come out and say, this is not about my usage, this is not about all those mileage at running back, because if I'm trying to trade for Debo Samuel and I'm willing to give him the contract and I'm on the East Coast and I have the ability to get him closer to home, like, say, Baltimore, which would be dynamite with him, right?
Yeah.
Let's just say, or the Jets, you could throw them out. He's further up the coast from South Carolina. Mm-hmm. But you want to talk about an AFC team that's as close to South Carolina as possible. Baltimore is probably raising its hands right now.
Man, that's pretty hot.
Furiously raising their hands right now, right? So wouldn't you counsel Debo to say, yeah, I mean, I'll play running back. We can have a conversation about all of that. Because if I'm going to use all this capital, I want the Debo that I've seen the last several years. That's the guy I want, you know?
I would imagine those conversations are happening. And again, that's where this gets, like, for instance, yesterday, I know Debo had put out a tweet and then deleted it after when he said that, you know, reporters are just going to make up stories. And then everybody was coming at me like I didn't talk to the actual Debo Samuel.
Yeah, right.
Someone said, are you sure you talked to Debo Samuel Jr.? I was like, yes, I was speaking to the right person. He was not referencing me when he said that. That being said, you know, I know that, you know, his expression there was basically that he doesn't love the narratives that exist about why the reasons that people are coming up with about why he wants out. And again, there's only one person who can necessarily fix that, and that is Debo at this point. But if he can fix that behind the scenes, no harm, no foul, eventually the truth will set him free. And I think that's fair, and that could prove to be the case.
Well, the problem is behind the problem with behind the scenes, though, Jeff, is have the Niners actually given his agent Torrey Dandy and him the permission to make this known to people?
Good question, and I don't know the answer to that. I do know, the only thing I can tell you is that the 49ers are very aware. They are trying to do their best to remedy the situation, but I do know that the way they'd best like to remedy that is to keep Debo on his team. So to what extent they're going to facilitate a trade, I don't know at this point where they're at.
Mm. But the phone must be ringing. I mean, John Lynch's phone must be. He must turn it off, I would imagine.
I mean, he's such a valuable player, you know? And it is interesting. I had one head coach tell me yesterday that Debo's best, you know, the best quality of Debo is his versatility and his ability to play running back and wide receiver. I think the question that teams are now going to have to ask themselves, are we okay paying upwards of $25 to $30 million a year for a player that might not be Devontae Adams as a wide receiver, but has a complementary skill set that makes him different than any other player in the NFL? And there's got to be a team out there that says yes.
If I owned it, that team would be it.
I mean, come on. I mean, we're spitballing here, and this is pure speculation, just us talking about it, but you're right. Like, the Ravens, the team that has just been trying desperately every single time a wide receiver hits the market to land that guy. I mean, Debo with Lamar Jackson?
Forget it.
That's dirty.
Correct. Fact. You're not stuttering. That would be dirty, and we have to look up rules in the rule book to see if it's fair or not. I agree. No, the two of them meeting at a mesh point and then maybe Hollywood Brown taking the top off of a defense because everybody's focused on the play action in the backfield. I mean, and then if one of them gets the ball, one of them's going to run you over and one will run right, you know.
That's right.
Run through you.
And player that he should be. A speedy number two guy. I mean, all I know is, I don't even know, I'm not even looking at what kind of draft capital the Ravens have.
14th.
You'd know that better than
I've got it right here in front of me. They've got the 14th overall pick, and then they've got a second round pick too, 45th overall. I don't know if they give up both.
Do you want to pipe in, John? Do you want to go three-way, John Lynch?
Yeah, let's FaceTime John Lynch.
Well, I'll turn him into Julio Jones on this live television show. If you
want
to just
straight. we could pop Debo on too if you want.
Oh.
If Debo has something
there
to say.
There you go.
Make sure that he's cool with this.
Sure, and I'm sure everybody else would be too. You should definitely do that. Get Brady too while you're at it. Can you get Tom on the horn too?
Is he playing? Is he retired or is he playing right now?
Well, let's get into that too, right here, Jeff Darlington on the Rich Eisen Show. So when you broke the story that that Tom Brady was retiring back in the day, it feels like a year ago.
When was that? Exactly.
I know, right? It was championship weekend, right? It was going into that, and everyone's kind of like, "What's up with that?" And
never forget it.
Of course, I'm sure you won't. So. What do you think? Was he thinking of joining Steve Ross's ownership group at that time? What do you think of that story? The Boston Globe and our friend Florio has put out there quite a bit.
There is definitely fire to the smoke, no question about that. I think it's we have to be a little bit careful of trying to connect dots. There's a lot of pieces to the puzzle that don't necessarily need to be connected. And I know that's a weird cryptic thing to say, but what I would say is that certainly the relationships between Tom Brady and Bruce Beal, for instance, a minority owner of the Dolphins, had created conversations about what Tom would do post-career. And those it absolutely was about, you know, minority ownership. The one thing I'd say to that, though, is that there was not a deal in place. It wasn't... and would it have gotten done? I really don't know. But I do know that when Tom retired, it wasn't just about that. There was a lot of things that were weighing on him at that point in terms of just his thoughts about whether, for instance, like he didn't want to come back and it turned into a big farewell tour for him every single week. His body was tired at the time. So there were parts of his decision to retire when I was reflecting on them, thinking, man, this doesn't necessarily feel like he's fully satisfied as he hangs it up. But that didn't change the fact that he was, in fact, at that moment, willing to retire, if not ready to retire.
Where do you and your reporting stand then, best you can share, on Brady's thinking at that very time when he initially retired that he didn't want to play for Bruce Arians anymore? And thus, Arians is out now that he's back. Where do you stand on that subject matter?
I talked to a lot of people about that, and I think I first of all do not think he was retiring under the for the reason that Bruce Arians was the coach. When he came back and decided to come back, I am fully convinced that he was doing so knowing that Bruce Arians would be his head coach. And I think that says a lot about where the relationship is. Did Tom, over the past 2 years, become frustrated at times with different elements of game planning and the way that things were going? Yes, but he did in New England too. And I think it's very important to remember that. There were definitely moments when I feel like people were wondering, gosh, does he regret coming down? Belichick was such a more disciplined guy. I can tell you emphatically, he never had regret for one second. And that to this day, his relationship with Arians is solid. I've talked to Arians about it himself. They definitely went at it at times. They got into it at times. But generally speaking, I wouldn't say it was any unhealthier than a lot of coach-quarterback relationships that exist around the NFL currently that probably everybody thinks are perfectly kumbaya.
So the Brady retirement and joining the Dolphins... And that did not happen because of the Flores lawsuit, do you think?
That's the thing. I don't know that I would go so far as to say that. Could it have played a role in it? Certainly. But the deal wasn't done yet anyway. So it's still, I mean, a deal for minority ownership is elaborate, extensive, and complicated. The ink was not on the paper, and I do know that wasn't going to, the negotiations on that weren't going to get intense until after he retired. And quite honestly, there was only really 4 to 5 hours that existed between the time that Tom retired and the time that Flores filed his lawsuit.
So I guess we know for sure Brady does not want a Coach K type year, right? Like where he's retired and he's going to
not. Okay. And did. I mean, I think he knows that, you know, I think he'd prefer, and I don't want to put words in his mouth. It's right. Not coming from him. It's just more what I've gathered over the past year is that he'd love to not talk about it at all. I mean, eventually do exactly what he did this year. I know it's such a
best of luck
thought at this point, yeah. 20 years into this, but he truly, I think he hates this part of it. And it's part of the reason he retired was that it was like, I just don't want to, And by the way, it's part of the reason when he did retire, he did it through an Instagram post. Like people, you know, like he wasn't trying to make a big deal about even the day that he retired, because I think people, as much as they think that he is so polished in every regard, and he is, mm-hmm. the thing that he still cares the most about is just playing football. And when he was ready to call it a career, he was ready to just say, I'm done, until he wasn't.
Well, the narrative is, Jeff, that he had a whole big elaborate to-do to actually make this announcement.
Right?
And that, yeah, and that you spoil the party. Like, you literally...
And then he decided, like, I'm just not going to... All these, I'm not going to thank the Patriots because of Darlington. what about
that's funny.
Or that me and Adam drove him into retirement.
So, power
I did not know I held.
But in all seriousness, how will his contract conversations, that if he has them or he doesn't have them, or what he's going to do with Jason Light right now of the Bucks, inform us of whether this is in fact his last year and what his future plans are? Jeff.
Yeah, I think that's what they have to figure out. And I mean that truly. I think it's as much of a situation where, again, I don't think Tom wants this to be a deal where he says this is my last year. And I think he knows that if he, you know, it's kind of just going to be like that. And he doesn't ever have to say it. And we don't ever have to, you know, formally do the Coach K thing every game or the Dwayne Wade thing every game. But, look, when he left the field this year for the final time in week after that Rams game, I stood there knowing, kind of deep down in my gut, mm-hmm. that was the last time I was going to see Tom Brady run out of that tunnel. I would suggest that anybody who cares about the legacy of watching Tom Brady do the same every time they see him run out of the tunnel this coming season.
Appreciate the time, Jeff. Always.
Rich. Always enjoy talking to you.
Right
always
back.
Therapeutic. I never know when I get off the phone if I'm going to be in trouble or not.
Oh, come on. Why do people say that? Everyone's accusing me of having an agenda the last 2 weeks. I have no
like
agenda.
Howard Stern. It's like when celebrities go on Howard Stern and then they hang up and they're like, damn it.
No,
I don't think that happened. I'm just saying.
Okay. Well, we're both from
like
New York.
Every time I feel my questions. Phone vibrate when I'm doing this call against my ear, I'm like, oh, great. Is that a text from somebody?
No, come on. We're all good. We're all good. I know people back in Connecticut, too. If you need, you know, I can lob in a call. It's all good. So I guess last thing for you. Thursday night, when we all go on the air for the draft, Debo's a Niner? Yay or nay? What do you think? I know that's a crystal ball question.
That's a great question.
Thank you. What do you think?
I'd love to see what the Vegas odds are on that one. But I'll say no. And normally I'd say yes, but this offseason I have been conditioned to expect the unexpected.
Yeah, man.
Any other year, Rich, I would say, why would the 49ers trade a guy like Debo? They've got a whole firm.
Right.
This year, I don't believe anything. At this
and
point.
Jimmy G still being on the roster with all that money sitting there, that has nothing to do with this right now?
No, I don't think so. Jimmy, I think, is more about the fact that the guy can't throw the ball yet. He's still recovering. And there's not a team that's really going to want to.
No, I know that, but his money's there, and that money could be, you know, given to.
Oh, right.
That's what I meant by it.
No, I don't think so. I really think this is more than money, man. I know that everybody says it's always money, but like we talked about, sometimes when it's more than money, it's a tough one to rectify because money can certainly cure a lot of things.
Yeah. Does Jed York call up David Tepper and say, hey, how about we'll go to Carolina, you come to San Francisco, when the first ever franchise swap in the history of professional sports? What do you think?
I don't know if that's possible. Tepper out in San Francisco.
He's got the cash for it.
Or I'm trying to picture Jed.
Take care of yourself, Jeff. Thanks for the call. That's Jeff Darlington, everybody. Did he just accuse me of being the king of all sports media right there? Did I just hear that?
Baba Booey.
I mean, we're both G's from New York City, right?
Rich, once we complete the double-double next month, we will be the king of all sports.
Okay, is that right? Okay, the double-double.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, double-fisted with trophies.
Like Giannis on the stage.
Okay, yeah, got it, sure.
You know what I mean?
Understood, yeah. We also ask questions. We're both on Sirius XM, right? What else?
$600 million contract.
Nope. Nope. Let me check on that.
What else? Del Tufo in a box. Yeah.
Del Tufo, is he like our Robert A. Bowie, would you say?
He's like Fred. He's more Fred than Baba Booey.
Yeah, he's right. More Fred.
Because he works the board.
Fred doesn't talk.
Fred doesn't talk, but he works the board. So
I know, but he's a cartoon character like Baba Booey is.
So he's like a combination of.
Yeah. This would be his response.
Kiss my ass, you too.
Well, facts.
That's too bad. You gotta, if you're not here, I mean, we talk about you. That's exactly what happened in the last commercial break.
Yeah. DJ. Good to know I got a friend in Jay here.
All right, let's take a break.
I gave you props. What are you talking about?
Props is doing a very heavy lift right there. Take a break. 844-204-RICH, number to dial here on the Rich Eisen Show. Check it out, youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show. We're back here on the Rich Eisen Show. We just played for our Peacock and SiriusXM audience an appearance of Kevin Costner in 2019, way back when Field of Dreams was shy of its 30th anniversary on this day in 1989. Field of Dreams, in a theater near you for the very first time, premiered today. Amazing. On this day. 33 years in 1989. It's a 33-year-old movie.
Love that movie.
Come on. And
now his daughter runs the forum. How crazy is that?
That's great.
Gabby Hoffman in that movie is his daughter.
I mean,
it's in Winnington.
And truly remarkable stuff. Burt Lancaster's final movie.
Yep.
James Earl Jones and Kevin Costner, just to name a few in that film. Poll question, Chris. I know we do this a lot, but we'll
just
do it
again.
Yeah,
we do it a lot, so let's do it again. What's the best baseball movie? What do you want on here, Rich? I mean, there's so many to choose from.
Guess you got to go Field of Dreams.
Feels like Field of Dreams. Feels like Major League kind of has to be on there.
Bull
and then,
Durham.
Yeah, Bull Durham, and then you know, put the final two can just be whatever.
I think you should put The Sandlot, even though my favorite movie is The Natural. I don't know why I can't get off of The Natural. There's also
League of Their Own.
League of Their Own, which I quoted last week. I quoted last week when Clayton Kershaw came out of the game with 80 pitches mm-hmm. in a perfect game, and I'm like, you got to go for it, man. You got to go for it because the heart is what makes it great. And it's I swear to you, I wasn't planning on talking about this, but I'll bring it up right now. Yesterday, Little League. Coop.
Oh yeah,
my 11-year-old.
Yesterday?
He did during Celtics Nets.
Oh, were you watching on your phone?
No, I'm watching my son play and pitch.
I mean, there are more.
He pitched. Well, I mean, trust me, Coop would have also loved to have watched because he's a Celtic fan.
Right. He wanted to know the score.
So
on the mound.
He's on the mound.
Love it.
And so he got his first multi-inning. Stretch.
Love it.
First multi-inning appearance.
Was he on a pitch count?
He was. He was.
Well, Little League
the
now
idea
has
was
pitch count.
Right, but yeah. You know, it was just there is a hard and fast 100% depending on so many other factors pitch count in this Little League. Yeah. But Coop was on just a self-imposed cuz he hadn't thrown multiple innings yet, either 2 innings or 50 pitch count.
Oh, great.
So his manager told us this before the game and I told Coop he was so psyched. He got through 2 innings in about 30-something pitches. He reached his third inning of work, all scoreless, 56 pitches.
Did he start?
No.
Okay, came in.
Okay, a 3-run lead now that he got handed. He got after his first inning of work. They scored 3 to give a 3-run lead for him to protect, and he kept going. And manager says to me, you know, what do you think? And I'm like, it's you go for it. And wow. And he looked at Coop and he's like, what do you think? You got one more inning. It was the last inning, one more inning. And Coop's like, yeah, I got it. Took the ball, got on the mound.
Love it.
And then had trouble throwing strikes. Yeah. And they wound up losing the game.
Oh, man, bummer.
And he was absolutely crushed.
Yeah.
And here I am, you know, dad, you know, Zan was there trying to help out, his older brother trying to help him out. He was very upset about it and said that he blew it. And I gave him the line from A League of Their Own about baseball. If it was easy, everyone would do it. It's the hard that makes it great. Mm. And that you didn't blow it. You went for it. You tried. I'm like, what would have been worse? What just happened? Or you saying to your manager, I don't think I can do it. You know, I don't want to try. I'm, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then your team lost anyway. What would have been worse?
Right.
So here I am quoting like A League of Their Own.
That's a good point.
Because that is one of the best lines in any sports movie history.
Great.
The heart is what makes it great. That's why we do love baseball. And that is baseball, you know?
Baseball's hard.
Hey, man, you're riding high for three innings, and then that fourth one, you know.
Falls apart.
And there were times where base running, they could have scored more runs throughout the game, and you're trying to teach kids that there's a cumulative effect of not playing, you're buttoned up. And baseball is so rich in that type of stuff.
Well, just one little thing goes wrong, it can just
the proverbial game of inches. Yeah. But that's what happened yesterday.
Oh, man.
Kind of bringing that all up here now with the baseball stuff. I honestly wasn't planning on talking about it, but so I guess that's the issue with
did he ice when he got home?
Oh yeah, sure. Yeah.
Gotta take care of that arm.
But he said, you know, my right arm, left arm feels just the same way. You know?
He's 11.
I know.
Must be nice.
And here I am. I'm limping around because sitting on those benches.
Oh, the metal bleachers?
You know, and you're your posture's not great. Not Dad, great. Why are you limping? Because I've been sitting. You
know? I'm surprised you're not pacing up and down.
Oh, I did that too.
Okay. Oh. I mean, I've seen you on the phone.
I did that. A couple times Susie told me to sit down. Because I was blocking people. I was right up against the fence. Yeah, I know. So, what do we choose? Sandlot? Major League?
Yeah, Bull Durham, Sandlot, Major League, Field of Dreams. So early,
would you
early
take
results,
Major League out? I mean...
Nah, I have a feeling Major League's going to win.
You do?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Well, we got Colin Hanks coming up in hour three. Talk about all this
stuff.
So
later on when I'm right, you guys can give me credit.
Wow. Although Jeff Darlington just said it's not about the running back stuff.
One time he may have been
Jeff was wrong about Brady.
So. Oh, no, he wasn't. Brady did, in fact, retire. Coming up, Shams Charania.
Never said the R word.
When Embiid made that shot.
Oh, man.
Oh, I was.
Give me the snapshot.
I mean, I was
all right. So I'm. Imagine. First of all, I put on Twitter. Right. Remember, right at the end of regulation, when Sixers called the timeout, there was like 20 seconds
yes.
left. Embiid took a shot.
Yes.
Step back three, 23 feet, and I went on Twitter. I was like, there is no way. I cannot believe that was the play call. For him to take a 23-foot step back three. And then, almost in the exact same spot
yeah.
he won the game. And I was like, then retweeted, well, what do I know?
And by the way, how about Doc calling a timeout because the possession wasn't going so well? Fires off the timeout to reset.
And
then the inbounds for that, and then he jars the shot. Yeah. Let's give it up for Doc.
Yeah, I was like, 9/10, really get a good shot off?
I'm not giving it up for
Doc. Give it up.
He got incredibly lucky.
Or the fact is like this:
it's
the Sixers
a horrible
did
shot.
Not.
You don't want your big man shooting a 25-foot fadeaway.
I'm sorry,
you're good.
Read all the quotes after the game. They were all saying that that's a high percentage shot to them. Was Embiid taking that shot?
Man, they're doing the thing. Come on.
No,
guys.
I mean, with 9/10 of a second, like, what are you going to get? That was as good of a shot as you could try to like throw it to him underneath the basket.
But how good is he,
Embiid? That was just. I went crazy in my apartment last night. I'm sure my neighbors were like, what is going on?
That
there?
Doesn't eliminate the Raptors in the same way that the Raptors eliminated the Sixers in that building with that three-pointer
no,
that bounced on the rim a couple times.
Even close.
But that's close.
3-0.
I know. And also, now comes the Doc up big in a series type thing, and yeah. I'm rooting for him.
Well, there's,
you know.
I'm going to go on record. There is zero chance of us not winning this series. Like, zero.
I would agree with you on that.
Also, the Sixers didn't play great yesterday. Harden filed out in the fourth, and they still won. And obviously, you've got to win games like that when you're not playing well. So just to see that happen without Thybulle, I mean, I don't know. I'm trying not to get too excited.
I felt like
about
a game that Toronto was going to win the entire way, basically beginning to end.
I know.
Yeah, because they had
to steal it. Was
and then the
remarkable.
Sixers took it.
Yeah. It was a must win for them.
I mean, so Gary Trent has been battling an illness all series, and he had a great game.
He balled.
And it still wasn't enough.
OG balled. Trent balled.
3-0.
Not a great game from Siakam.
Embiid with the game winner, baby.
Embiid, I mean, how do you host, honestly? How do you stop Embiid? Like, what do you do?
He's a problem.
Yeah.
Shams Charania with the rest of the NBA coming up, hour two.